It's one of those days when you are spoiled for choice. So much news is breaking all over that you struggle to decide what to declutter today because everything is cluttery as well. So we look at three stories. One I know has been continuing since yesterday. That is Ram Janmabhoomi. We spoke about it yesterday, and I presume you've been following our very detailed coverage from Ayodhya and from our political dadas in Delhi on the print.in. The two other stories were Lebanon, the big explosion that happened later at night, last night, and this funny thing, funny but serious thing that Pakistanis sprang on the eve of August 5, the anniversary of the change of status of Jammu and Kashmir carried out by Modi government in India, when they issued a new map of Pakistan claiming a large part of India, Western India, that is the old princely state of Junagadh, now a very vital area in the state of Gujarat, which also importantly has the temple of Somnath. So they have claimed that as their own and surprised everybody. So maybe today, because you are reading and watching so much on the temple and we've spoken about it, we'll talk about what this Junagadh issue is and what is this new map all about. First of all, Junagadh. Now, if you look at this new Pakistani map, Kashmir, they've been claiming Kashmir for a long time. They can carry on doing it forever. There, see the map that the Pakistanis have issued of supposedly their country. There, the touching hypocrisy, if I may say so, or touching honesty in terms of who the boss is according to Pakistan in this region is the way they have treated Kashmir's map in the Ladakh region. Look at that map. It looks like everything else is mine, but what India considers its own, which is Aksai Chin, but which China controls and considers its own, that I'd rather not talk about. In any case, how can I talk about? Because I've already gifted a sizable chunk of that area to China as part of my border settlement, that is Shaksgam Valley. So if you look at this map, look at this Kashmir, and then you see this border on this side is all a dotted line saying border undefined. So hand on the heart, touching honesty. Why take panga with the Chinese? But take panga with India, all right, because that's an ongoing panga. Then you come lower down on the map, lower down as in towards the south and southwest in this case. And that's where Pakistan has made two amendments. One along Sir Creek. Now, Sir Creek is an estuary of anything between 96 to 98, 99 kilometers going in from Arabian Sea like this in along the Sindh coast on the Pakistani side, Kutch coast on the Indian side. It's very narrow. It's very narrow. It's very rich in minerals. It's also very rich in fish. You very often hear India and Pakistani arresting each other's fishermen or confiscating each other's fishing boats, and every year and a half there is a ritual exchange of these fishermen who are being held prisoner, unfortunate people. In fact, ask anybody in the Indian Coast Guard and Indian Navy and they will tell you what this tussle is about. This tussle is about red snapper. That's the fish most of us fish eaters like so much. It's a premium fish, and apparently each set of fishermen think that better red snapper catches are on the other one side, that is if the border runs through the middle of the creek. But the creek also keeps changing its dimensions, high tide, low tide, and remember this is the low-lying run of Kutch area, so this is a very tricky, inhospitable area. Now, the dispute there has been that Pakistan claims that all of the creek is its own. India believes that the border runs through the middle of the creek. So while fishermen always claim that I didn't know where the middle was, and they keep on getting caught by one side or the other all over that silly red snapper. So next time you order a red snapper in a restaurant, remember what kind of risks fishermen take to bring that fish to your table. Nevertheless, Pakistan has now, in the new map, added all of this Sir Creek into their territory. So as far as they are concerned, they have settled this Sir Creek dispute. India came very close to settling that dispute. It didn't happen. But now the Pakistanis think they've settled it. If they think by changing the map they've settled it, good luck to them. I don't think anybody is going to be serious about that on the Indian side. But that is the reason I said, Dil Behlane Ko Ghalib, Ye Khayal Achha Hai. So Sir Creek is only one area. Then you go further down from Sir Creek and you come to the area which is more crucial. That is the Junagadh area. Now, Junagadh used to be a principality or a princely state before the independence. It was governed, it was ruled by a Nawab. At that point, Nawab Mahabad Khan III was the Nawab of Junagadh. Was quite a character. In fact, if you've read those two books, I don't know how many of today's generations would have read these, but books called Maharaja and Maharani, written by a man called Diwan Jarmani Das, who was a great and delightful chronicler of the madnesses of Indian Maharajas and Maharanis, most of whom spent, barring some honorable exceptions here and there, mostly spent all their tax collections on themselves. Junagadh Nawab became famous in those books because of the stories about his love for his dogs. Now, as a fellow dog and cat lover, I'm very proud of a Nawab. I quite admire a Nawab who was fond of his dogs. But he made his fame because he also held the most lavish weddings for his dogs. And he invited other Maharajas and Nawabs and the British officials and pampered them. So his big indulgence in life was his dogs. Nice guy to that extent. But he had one problem. The problem was he was a Muslim ruler and his state was about 83% Hindu. But traditionally, he was the ruler, not very different from the situation, say, in Kashmir, which had a Hindu ruler, but where the population was predominantly or majority, not 83%, but majority Muslim. And yet another problem area in the subcontinent, the state of Hyderabad, which is today's Telangana, then Andhra. That state had a Muslim ruler, the Nizam, but the population was predominantly Hindu. So two princely states with predominantly Hindu populations and Muslim rulers, one Muslim majority state with a Hindu ruler. And that's where the story begins. Now, the ruler of Junagadh earlier gave Sardar Patel and V.P. Menon, who was doing it all on behalf of Sardar Patel to integrate India's states. As we know, in the partition, in the arrangement of independence, our princely states were given the option of going with Pakistan, going with India, or remaining independent. Now, the Nawab of Junagadh, who had often enough let the Indian side know, Nehru and Patel know, that he was going to accede to India. After all, he had no land borders with Pakistan. He was far away from Pakistan. Between him and the Pakistani border of Kutch, there is a lot of territory, Porbandar, Jamnagar, the rest. It's a lot of territory. So he was nowhere near any land borders of Pakistan. But something dramatic happened in Junagadh in May of 1947. So I'm taking you right back. There are two books that you should look at. One is a book by Rajmohan Gandhi on Patel called Patel, A Life. And then there are accounts written on the Pakistani side by Shahnawaz Bhutto and others. That name sounds familiar. So we are coming to that.
And unless you figured this out already, Sir Shahnawaz Khan founded Pakistan's most prominent political dynasty. His son Zulfikar Ali became Pakistan's leader. He is very well known, was assassinated. His granddaughter Benazir Bhutto became Pakistan's leader, prime minister. She was assassinated too. And her husband Asif Ali Zardari became Pakistan's president and has seen jail since.
Now, 15th May, something very interesting happened. 15th May, mysteriously, the Diwan, or like the Prime Minister of Junagadh, went for his treatment, medical treatment overseas. Just before that, a Sindhi Muslim League politician, a Muslim politician from Sindh, who had set up a party which also admitted Hindus in Sindh, which is now part of Pakistan. His name was Sir Shahnawaz Khan Bhutto. He came in, he was loaned or he was hired, either he was loaned to the state of Junagadh or he was hired by the state of Junagadh to become a minister in that state. Now, as the Diwan went overseas for his treatment dramatically in May of 1947, Sir Shahnawaz Bhutto became the Diwan or like the Prime Minister or Premier of Junagadh. So he began controlling the policy of Junagadh. And then came 15th of August, and suddenly the Nawab of Junagadh surprised everybody by saying that he was going to accede to Pakistan. So he was asked, how can you accede to Pakistan when you have no land border with Pakistan? He said, doesn't matter, I share the seas with Pakistan, which means if I drive across the Arabian Sea, I will reach Pakistan. So I have sea borders with Pakistan, which was nonsense. But he was ruler and the independence arrangement gave him the option of acceding to one or the other or being independent. So he said, I am going to Pakistan. That Nehru refused to accept and Sardar Patel refused to accept. In fact, Sardar Patel said at that point immediately, and these are also accounts from Rajmohan Gandhi's book and other writings, including V.P. Menon's autobiography at that time, which I'm sure many of you, particularly those who are preparing for UPSC, etc., are much more familiar with than me. So they said nothing doing, because if one Muslim ruler of a Hindu majority state without contiguous borders with Pakistan could use this option of acceding to Pakistan, then the same principle could be applied to Hyderabad also, and Nizam of Hyderabad could make the same claim as well. By this time, Nizam of Hyderabad had not made up his mind to accede to anybody else. He was much closer to Pakistan. He had begun to get arms smuggled from Pakistan. He had begun to raise his little army of Razakars and the rest in Hyderabad. He had not acceded to any country though, and Government of India had signed a one-year standstill agreement with him, which means for 1 year they will not send the military to occupy or to liberate Hyderabad, to give him time. Very similar to the standstill agreement signed in Kashmir, which the Pakistanis violated by sending the raiders into Kashmir. Many of you know that story, that history well. So when the Nawab of Junagadh said this, Indian leadership said, nothing doing, we will not accept it. And that's when Sardar Patel came up with this interesting theory that we read from Rajmohan Gandhi's book, also from other references, also from quotations from a speech that Sardar Patel later gave in Junagadh. Now, he said that Hyderabad, Kashmir and Junagadh on Pakistan's chessboard, on Jinnah's chessboard, are like the king, the queen and the pawn, which means Raja, Rani or Pyada, ya Badshah, Begum or Pyada. What did he mean? What he meant was that Hyderabad is the most important of these three prizes. And Hyderabad, he had his own ideas on what he was going to do about it. But there was a time when he was not closed to the idea of exchanging or settling Hyderabad for Kashmir. That is something that Rajmohan Gandhi records. That's something that he said in one of his speeches. In his speech, in fact, on 13th of November 1947 in Junagadh as well, because too much was happening at that time. But he said that Junagadh is the pawn that Jinnah wants to take to exchange it for the queen called Kashmir, and he will not let it happen. So that's why one was king, one was queen, one was the pawn. So Junagadh was the pawn. On 13th of September 1947, Jinnah accepted the Nawab of Junagadh's instrument of offer of accession. And that shocked Nehru, Patel, all Indian leaders, also Mountbatten, because that was seen as an act of betrayal, because this was not a region that was contiguous to Pakistan. This was far away from Pakistan-India borders. So this was seen as mischief, and that's when the Indian establishment moved in. There was a blockade of sorts, which was always officially denied. I think it was called Operation Peace. Some naval ships were also sent to hang around at the coastline, because remember, the Nawab said that he shared the seas with Pakistan. That happened, and a provisional government of Junagadh was set up in what was then Bombay, Mumbai now. That provisional government was headed by a man called Samal Das Gandhi, who happened to be Mahatma Gandhi's nephew. Now, this government then started saying that we are the government of Junagadh, who the hell is the Nawab? And as that happened and became quite evident that India was now going to send in the forces, this was unacceptable to India. And in any case, Sardar Patel would not let Jinnah have this pawn to treat it against Kashmir, the queen. The Nawab lost his nerve. And the Nawab lost his nerve. And what did he do? What do these feudals do when they lose their nerve? They are smart. They know what's valuable to them. Most of all, is their life. So he got into a plane and he fled from Junagadh to Karachi. He also took with him what? He took with him his members of his family, his begums, etc., etc. He took his harem. He took all the cash in his treasury. And I say it with a straight face as a dog lover, he took all his dogs. So he knew exactly what was valuable to him. His own life, his family, all his people's cash, and his dogs. So he disappeared there. Who was left behind in Junagadh? It was Sir Shahnawaz Khan Bhutto. Now, Shahnawaz Khan Bhutto is the one who had lit this fire. And now he had begun to lose his nerve because he was left with no money to pay salaries. His population was 85% Hindu by now, because some had already migrated to Pakistan and migration was going on. And he lost his nerve. And in fact, he first asked Samal Das Gandhi to come and to start running the administration. But you know how things happened at that time. Samal Das Gandhi said, check with New Delhi. So New Delhi said, look, you go away. This accession is nonsensical. This is unacceptable to us. So according to Indian accounts, Sir Shahnawaz Bhutto requested India or government of India to come and take over Junagadh and restore order. So as he gave up his ambitions of making Junagadh a part of Pakistan. So I'll quote for you from a hurried letter he wrote to Jinnah, in which he said, quote, it must be settled honorably. It means the Junagadh problem. It must be settled honorably and to the satisfaction of all. It is impossible for me to countenance any further bloodshed, hardship and persecution of loyal people. Having said that, he surrendered or he turned over the administration to late M.N. Buch, who was then the commissioner at Rajkot. So that's how Junagadh became a part of India. And then as time passed, everybody forgot about it. Pakistan took the issue to the UN. UN resolution, Security Council Resolution 39 on Kashmir also has two words called and other issues. Those other issues are supposedly the other issues that Pakistan raised, essentially the issue of Junagadh. So as a reporter in Pakistan, often when I've gone traveling, I was sort of thrown back when I went to see some prominent Pakistanis, politicians, particularly of the Muslim League types. And I saw a map of Pakistan, which showed Junagadh and Hyderabad as parts of Pakistan, as kind of enclaves Pakistan owned far away from its own territory. So there is that nostalgia in Pakistan. Otherwise, Junagadh is a forgotten story now. Nobody in Pakistan has made an issue of it. The issue between India and Pakistan has remained confined to Kashmir. And there are some minor issues like Sir Creek, etc., etc. Those are the smaller issues. That Sir Creek is also important, because where Sir Creek begins for either country would also have an implication where each one's exclusive economic zone will then spread. Now, what happened after this was quick. India took over. Indian forces also moved in. November 13, 1947, Sardar Patel went to Junagadh, held a big public rally where he made this speech where he talked about this king and queen and pawn. And then this issue was over. But India had also offered to Pakistan that they could hold a plebiscite in Junagadh. Now, Pakistan, you can argue this from the Pakistani side, that if you could hold a plebiscite in Junagadh, which had a Muslim ruler but predominantly Hindu population, why couldn't you do it in Kashmir? So let's leave it at that. But India in February, that coming year, that is February of 1948, held a plebiscite in Junagadh, where 2,1,500 approximately voters registered, of which 1,90,900 approximately voted to stay on in India. How many voted to stay to go to Pakistan? 91, that's all. And then in the five regions adjoining the state, the old princely state of Junagadh, also plebiscite was held. There, out of the 13,450 approximately voters, only 39 voted to go to Pakistan. So as far as India is concerned, this was settled by plebiscite. Now, this is not exactly relevant today, but I know that you will be curious that what happened then to the king, that is Hyderabad. So the situation in Hyderabad festered. Junagadh, Sardar Patel and Nehru had settled by now, and Pakistan may have made noises, but they really had no locus standi, no foothold. Kashmir situation, Pakistan had complicated by sending in the raiders, not allowing the standstill agreement to be honored. So Pakistan sent in the raiders, they sent in the raiders, India sent in the army, there was an instrument of accession signed with India, there was a commitment on plebiscite made at the UN, but that we know, much water is flown down the Jhelum and Ravi and Chenab and Satluj since then. So that story has gone in a completely different direction. Hyderabad, it carried on for almost a year. It was in fact towards the later half of the following year, 1948, that finally Nehru and Patel got impatient, because they thought the Nizam was now being really mischievous and he was playing games. He was trying to go to the UN. He had sold all his savings, securities in Indian bonds and Indian share markets, obviously preparing for a separation. He was getting arms smuggled to become independent. That is when Nehru and Patel ordered what is called as Operation Polo. This was a big operation by Indian armed forces to move in and crush the Hyderabadi separatism and established India's sovereign authority over the entire state. It ended very soon in September of 1948 with the Nizam of Hyderabad surrendering to the Indian forces. Kanhaiyalal Maniklal Munshi was a kind of Indian governor, ambassador, whatever you call him there, and also General J.N. Chaudhary was leading the Indian forces. So that got sorted out there. Now, if you were a Pakistani, which we are not, you could argue that what is this? In one state, there were three of these places in contention. In one state, you said instrument of accession doesn't matter, there will not even be a plebiscite, it's within my territory, either you become a part of my country irrespective of what the ruler says, because your majority is Hindu, or if you don't agree, I will come and take over. That is Hyderabad. So the king got settled like that. Junagadh, you said population is majority Muslim, instrument of accession is not convincing, it is nonsensical, there is no contiguity also with Pakistan, so forget it, and I will hold a plebiscite and see, the plebiscite is in my favor, so done and dusted, so the pawn is also in my pocket. Then Kashmir, so the Pakistanis say, what about Kashmir? Kashmir, the ruler is Hindu, population is majority Muslim, so neither are you letting them apply the principle of Junagadh and Hyderabad, nor are you holding a plebiscite, something that you did in Junagadh. So what is it? Now that is what real politics is all about. Because ultimately in these situations, It is strength that prevails. And you know, there is much bitching about what happened between Nehru, Patel, etc., etc. at that time. But see, whichever way this game was played, all three, that is the king, the queen, and the pawn, are a part of India. So today, Pakistan may redraw its map and say the pawn is also a part of Pakistan. Maybe some people will be happy, some people will not be happy in Pakistan. Maybe some people, some of the older people will think, theek hai, kuch bhi hai, to India ko thok diya. But beyond that, it means nothing. At the same time, this makes us talk of this very complex and very fascinating situation.